Andy Baggerly, who writes for The Athletic, put it beautifully in his story, and it's at Extra Bags on Twitter. And Andy joins us. Andy, you've seen a lot of baseball in your time, and just put this one into some perspective in this 2018 season and what it may mean to the ball club and just watching it last night.
I mean, that's a team, Marty, that the Giants finished 40 games behind in the division last year. And, you know, you can start a season with as much hope and as much optimism and as much good feeling as you want. But, you know, you win a game in the manner that they won it last night, where it was an ensemble cast, and yet there was a guy who was a total scene stealer in Andrew McCutchen. And it took the whole roster to win that game. And that's a game that can really fuel your ambitions and make you believe, hey, we can stand toe-to-toe with this team. We finished 40 games behind, and we can come out ahead. We've got the horses to do it now. And individually, I mean, what a performance. The fourth time in San Francisco Giants history that a player had six or more hits in a game. And, you know, that tells you how rare it is. And then to have the 12-pitch at bat and the sixth hit be a three-run walk-off homer, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
No, and as I said on the show last night, we had a great post game last night. I really enjoyed it, and the fans were great. And Kevin Franzen was with us for about an hour and a half as well. That was a loss. I mean, that was 5-4, and Gomez did a great job. You know, can't overlook Roberto Gomez to limit the damage as the last guy standing. But that's 5-4, a loss that turned into a victory, and I think that was even bigger than just, you know, the typical 4-4 and you hit a home run to win.
Oh, yeah, and that's the way I sort of structured my story is, you know, if not for Andrew McCutchen sort of putting on his Superman cape and being the hero, you know, this is a game that we unspool in a whole different way, and we did it so many times last year. It's, oh, they wasted Buster Posey's first homer since last August, or, oh, they wasted four shutout innings from Maranta and Pierce Johnson, and you got to win games when you get that, or, oh, they got beat by those three seeing eye singles and that one that got past Longoria, or, oh, why didn't Belt, you know, try to bunt against the shift to get on base one of those innings? Or is Longoria ever going to hit with runners on base? You know, but you know, all of that happened. And yet, you know, that clubhouse was as loud as we could hear it through the walls into the press conference room last night. And they were celebrating, and they're going to show up feeling great about themselves to the ballpark today.
Talking to Andy Baggerly of The Athletic. And Andy, it's early in the season. You don't want to get too ahead of yourself here and call this, it's a statement win, though. It's big for this team. It's big for the morale of this team after last year. As you said, they didn't have wins like this. You got to the point where it felt like every time they gave up a lead late in the game, you would probably end up blowing this game. They were going to waste the Buster home run, as you said. What kind of weight does this hold for the Giants this season and overall in the Giants-Dodger rivalry?
Well, I think it shows you that, you know, you can do good work in a game and it won't get undone by something at the end of the day. You have that belief in the pitcher that follows you or the batter that's behind you in the lineup. And that's so important to have on a winning ball club, and the Giants just didn't have that last year. And I'll tell you what else really helps is having power late in the game. Yeah. I mean, I really thought Pablo Sandoval was going to come off the bench and walk it off in the ninth. But they've got power now. They've out-homered their opponents 10-2. I mean, Gorkys Hernandez has a home run. So, you know, that's not what we saw last year. And in fact, if you look at runs scored on home runs, the Giants were minus over 100 runs in terms of runs that scored on their home runs versus runs that scored on opponents' home runs last year. That's most of their minus run differential from last season. And this year, you look up and 16 runs have scored on homers and 3 runs have scored against them on homers. And, I mean, that pace probably won't keep up. But that's just a night and day difference from last year's team.
Boy, I'll say it again. Every time you flip the order, you feel that they've got a chance to score some runs. But it comes back to pitching. And, you know, we've got the fifth starter coming up Wednesday. And, Andy, they're fourth in starting pitching ERA in the National League. But they're averaging just a little over 5 innings a start from a starting pitcher. The bullpen obviously has to make up the rest of it. So that can't go on forever. That's number one. But number two, Reyes Maranta and Pierce Johnson, I think, are going to become bigger parts of this bullpen. They're not afraid. They walked into the buzzsaw last night, and I thought they did great.
Well, that was a huge move by Bruce Bochy, wasn't it, to walk the bases low, go ahead, run from second to like to walk the bases loaded, even if it's.
Oh, man,
he doesn't want to put the.
You're dropping out just a little bit on us. He walked the bases loaded to get to Ryu.
Right, exactly. he doesn't like to give the pitcher no room to operate. He doesn't like to walk the bases loaded in any event, no matter what base is unoccupied, let alone third base. And so he trusted Reyes Moronta to throw strikes in that instance. And I'll tell you what, he also trusted Josh Osich earlier in the game to face Cody Bellinger, who homered off him in L.A. And I think when a manager starts putting a lot of trust in his relievers, that's a good sign.
You think he pulled Stratton a little early last night? I got into that last night. I thought Stratton still had decent stuff, and maybe the analytics of this third time through kind of got to Bochy and everybody else. But I don't know. Can't you let this kid try to work out of trouble?
I don't know. I think you might have an argument the other way, Marty, because, you know, he didn't retire either of the first two batters he faced in the sixth, and he didn't really have great command all night. He was working behind in the count. He was yanking his fastball a little bit. So, you know, I think maybe you could argue that they should have pulled him, you know, before he started the sixth. But either way, it set up a situation where the bullpen had to bail him out. And, yeah. You know, if not for a cross-up from Guerin against Posey, they probably do.
Kind of a momentum win last night for the Giants. I mean, you hope this carries over into today, but playing a 14-inning game, then you always wonder, what happens to the bullpen today? You had multiple guys throw over one inning. Some of them threw two innings yesterday. You know, guys like Guerin just threw a third of an inning. What do we expect from Bochy today and how he'll go about using the bullpen with no off days for a minute?
Well, I think the question, they're going to want to try to get Ty Block a little more work out of him. You know, as you mentioned, they can't keep throwing the bullpen, you know, multiple guys every single day. You know, the days off early have allowed them to do that. But Tony Watson, he faced eight batters last night, and yet he only threw 25 pitches. So he's probably good for, a piece of an inning today. But I think that it starts with Ty Block and getting some length out of him. And then long-term, yeah, you have to look at Jeff Samardzija coming back and hoping he can be a seven-inning pitcher and hoping that they can get some more length out of these starters. And that'll include the guy who starts on Wednesday, which I would imagine would be Andrew Suarez, although Tyler Beede certainly in the discussion as well.
Well, we have a lot of fun in spring training. Andy Baggerly with us from The Athletic, sitting around talking and trying to analyze what is coming. And he said, boy, look at this month of April. 10 games with the Dodgers and all the division games, and then you got Seattle for a couple. And they're really off to a good start, but for me, the most important thing is 5 of the 10 games are done with the Dodgers, and the Giants are 3-2. And I think that maybe is the biggest story of the year so far.
Well, I mean, you know, it's very, very early, small sample size theater and all, but you want to make a good impression. And it's not going to get much easier. The Diamondbacks are playing the best of anyone in the division in the early going here. We know that there are other quality teams coming in. They've got 2-3 city road trips in May. They're away from AT&T Park, 18 out of 24. So these first 2 months, all the way up until they get back, are going to be a challenge every day. I don't think that they can really afford to take their foot off the gas at any point.
All right, Andy, thank you so much for taking the time. We'll see you out here shortly. And the sun is shining here at AT&T Park in more ways than one. There was a lot of fun last night. And you've been part of big games. This one last night, it's got a rank in, I don't know, I said in my top 10, really, of the things I've done with the Giants. Where is it for you? Am I being too dramatic?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think this one's up there with the Angel Pagan, you know, walk-off inside the Parker. I mean, the games that you don't forget, you know, you could probably count them on two hands in AT&T Park regular season history. It's got to be one that you're never going to forget, and one that I'm sure Andrew McCutchen won't forget either.
Yeah, very good. All right, Andy, thanks for taking the time. We'll see you shortly. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Marty.
All right, that is Andy Baggerly of The Athletic. Always, I love having Andy on early.